Welcome to Sunday School today. It's a great day to be alive, great day to be in the Lord's house. And, you know, we're living in a very interesting day. We really are in time and life. Turn to the book of Jude today. Book of Jude, where we were last week. We continue today. A lot of things taking place today that certainly is revealing to us that we're living in a time when the Lord could come any day. And I'm looking for Him. I'm expecting Him every day. And I just trust that God would enable me to be what I should be to try to help others come to know Christ as Savior too. I tell you, it's a burden when you try to talk to people and they're lost and or they just don't know whether they're saved or not. You know, like I said last week, Jude had a burden here. He had a burden he writes about in his book concerning things that were going on, false teachers and all. People were falling away. And he had a burden, and God led him to write here to Christians everywhere. And we're to benefit from this message as he's written it, and I trust that we will today as we look at this, the danger, again, of false teachers and apostasy. You know, the tragedy with false teachers is they're going to be punished, and those also that follow them will be punished too. And it's a twofold thing. And so we need to beware of things that are going on in the world today. But thank you for being here today. Let's have prayer and ask God to bless our time together as we focus again in the book of Jude. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be together again in your house. We thank you for this place that we can assemble together. And Lord, have thy word open. And Lord, as we share it together, I pray again, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He will lead us and guide us in all that we say and all that we do today. Lord, please be with those again that are sick, not able to be here. Again, staying home because, again, they don't want help. I don't want to spread any disease or anything. And I just pray, God, you bless those dear people today. Help each one that's here now. Lord, I just pray as the Word of God is read today, God, that you might give us wisdom, give us understanding, Lord, in these days in which we live, how seemingly history does repeat itself. And Lord, we all, from day one, Adam, right on to us today, we all have the same nature. And God, you're so gracious and so merciful to us, and we thank you for who you are and all you do for us every day. Now, have your will and way. In the class today, in the message we read, we just study in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the book of Jude, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about, first of all, him as a writer. He is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that anybody can do in life is to serve, to be a servant. It's very important that we understand that. It's better to be a servant, literally, than it is to be a king. I mean, serving is a great thing for us to do in our lives. It's a privilege to do that, to enhance and try to help someone in their lives. So he calls himself a servant in verse number 1. In this epistle, he's writing to three people here. He calls it, first of all, the sanctified by God himself. Also, not only the sanctified, but also the preserved in Jesus Christ. And also the called. The called. He classifies that in verse number one. We see Jude in verse number 2 has a prayer. He's praying for mercy, for love, and for power. Love, mercy, and power for us as individuals, as Christians. You know, when we have this love, mercy, and peace, I should say peace, in our lives, it enables us and enhances us to be able to do what we can do and ought to do for God. But it takes all three. It takes mercy, it takes peace, it takes love in our hearts. And only God can give us that mercy, that peace, and that love, you know. Also, we see in verse number 3 what Jude's plan was. He was planned to write about the wonderful salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But through this constraining of the Spirit of God, God led him in another direction because he became burdened of the people around him, people he knew, the Christians how they were falling away, going to listen to false teachers and all that. And he was concerned about that. So he had a burden here to warn against the apostasy in his day. And also we see also his concern in verse number 4. His concern was simply the need to warn against false teachers. There's a need today to warn Christians against false teachers today. We see that his appeal is to guard the believers from or against false teachers, and also to exhort steadfastness in your own faith as a believer, to be steadfast in your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. So that's where we got to last week. Now, today we're going to look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, let's look at it as we read it together. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, we see here in verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7, we see here there are three groups of people that he is writing to. He's writing in verse 5 to Israel. In verse 6, he's writing regarding the angels. In verse 7, he's writing regard the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see here, he's talking about the danger of being led by false teachers and the punishment, again, that will follow them by following false leaders. His theme here is the condemnation of false teachers and their followers. How are they going to be condemned? They will be condemned. So we see here in verse number 5, he's talking about the nation of Israel. We see here a historical example of apostasy. There's going to be several of them. We're going to talk about Israel today. We know the nation of Israel, how they were people like you and I are. And we see, thinking about many times, when Moses as their leader, he would pray on behalf of them. He would go to God for them, you know, and intercede with them, for them, because of their sin, because of their rebellion or whatever it was. And he begged God many times to forgive them and help them, you know, in his life while he was living as he was the leader. So we see that Israel here is a nation we're going to look at today and look at the example of apostasy in them. And we see God reminding us of his judgments because of this nation. God deals very sincerely with false teaching. He really does. And we're going to find that in regards to this nation of Israel today. Now, we see here God delivered Israel from Egypt. Okay? He got them out of Egypt, away from the plagues. But we find afterwards, he had to destroy some of the unbelievers there. We see here, it's like to us. You know, we can be in church, we can be in Sunday school, okay? But that doesn't necessarily have any evidence that we're saved. You know that? Right. We can come to Sunday school, we can come to church faithfully and be lost as anybody else can be that don't ever come to God's house. And Israel was out of Egypt now. They were away from the plagues, but they still were not doing what God wanted them to do. And so we see here, this is what happened here. They were influenced by the world around them, the Egyptians and the non-Hebrews. These people influenced Israel to do what they did. You know, we have a world today of people that will influence you and influence me to do exactly what the world is doing if we're not careful. We need to be on guard because this is very strong today. It really is. Therefore, we see what it means here is that it's possible for every one of us. I said last week, apart from the grace of God, it's easy for every one of us to fall into a trap and follow a false teacher. We can do it. We can do it, apart from the grace of God. Now, I want us to look at the Old Testament example. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Talking about Israel as a nation. How God blessed them. How God provided for them. Time and time again, they were up and down, up and down, up and down. As believers, they would obey God and they would disobey God. Back and forth, all the time. Just like until we are as people even today here. There's probably no other nation in history of the world that has enjoyed the liberty, the freedom, and the blessings of God as the nation of Israel did. They were a blessed people. They really were. And you know, I'm in talking about Israel today, I'm trying also to draw a parallel between the nation of Israel and America today. America today. America is a blessed people. We are a blessed people to be in this country we're living in, folks. We're blessed. We don't realize and understand sometimes what we have by being in this country as an individual, as an American. But here, this nation, here Israel, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we find some things here that I want to remind us. To remind us, look at their freedom. We're going to review the nation of Israel, their freedom, okay? We're going to also look at the rebellion they had against their freedom. And then we will see at last how their freedom was taken from them because of their rebellion. See, God can give us great things, and He does, and He has. But God can also take things away from us. He can take things away from us if we are steadfast, disobeying Him, not living for Him, and always, you know, going the way we want to go. God can and God does many times take things away from people that we can enjoy. We're seeing it in this country, folks. We're seeing it in our country. A lot of things that the founders of our country established for us, they're being taken away from us. Our freedom of speech. You know, just to be able to worship like we can today. One day, I don't know. One day it may be where people cannot come together like we can. I don't know. But I know one thing, a lot of things have been taken away from us. They're taken away, taken down the Ten Commandments everywhere. We can't pray. We can't speak in the name of Jesus. All these things people are trying to take from us. See, and it's all because of false teachers, folks. Apostasy. Headed up, of course, by Satan himself. He's the instigator of all this kind of stuff that's going on in the world today. But I want to, first of all, to review the freedom of Israel. Look at it, if you will, please. In verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the what? Under the cloud. All our fathers were under the cloud. You know, in the days in the New Testament, days of Israel, the Holy Spirit's work, ministry was not what He is today. The Holy Spirit lives in us and abides with us. Well, this was not the means, this was not the way that God directed His people in the Old Testament time. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Now, you keep your text here, because we're going to be in Exodus a lot this morning. Exodus, chapter 13. Notice, first of all, the freedom they had. God guided the children of Israel, how? By a cloud. By a cloud. Notice in Exodus chapter 13, look at verse number 21. And the Lord went before them, that is Israel, by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night, for before the people. In other words, this was God's way of directing His people, the people of Israel. He used a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire by night. This is how God led His people during this time. How does God lead us today, folks? Tell me. By His Word. Right. By His Word and through His Spirit. He leads us in our life and shows us what we should do, what we should not do. He leads us in this way. So we see here that they had this freedom. Israel had the freedom to follow this pillar of God day and night. God does guide, folks. He guides us today in difficult situations, doesn't He? In difficult places, He guides us. He guides us in a plain path, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms. God will guide us like a shepherd. We're the sheep. He's the great shepherd. He leads us. He guides us. And here we find the freedom of Israel as God guides them by the glory cloud, the cloud. the cloud. Day and night, he led them. Now, notice also, not only did he guide them by the glory cloud, but he led them across the Red Sea. He led them across the Red Sea. Turn to chapter 14 of Exodus and look at verse 22. Go back up to verse 21. Exodus 14, verse 21, 22. How God, this is, we're talking about the freedoms of Israel, folks. How God led them by the glory cloud. And now we see how God leads them across the Red Sea. Verse 21 of Exodus 14. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. My, what power. We see, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. My Bible says dry ground. Dry ground, not ankle deep, but dry ground. That's what the Bible says, dry ground. And the waters were as a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. So we see here how the freedom of Israel, God gives by being able to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. Okay? How God leads them, how? He leads them by His glory cloud. He has now here led them across the Red Sea by causing the winds to roll the water back, to give them dry ground to walk across. This is the freedoms of Israel, folks. How God blessed them. God gave them these things because He was merciful to them. He loved them, just like He loves us today. So we see here also another freedom He sent. He sent them water and food. Look in chapter 16. Exodus 16. Look at verse number 11. 16:11. He guides them by a glory cloud. He led them across the Red Sea by a miraculous thing He did there with the wind. And now we see in Exodus 16 how He fed them. This is the freedoms of Israel, how God provided for them. He provided for them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit in us, but God still provided for them. Look at verse number 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh. In other words, they come complaining about they didn't have what they wanted to eat. He says, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 13, and it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is a thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Here we go. God is providing freedom. God, all they got to go out and get it. It's out there for them. Okay? They go out every day and get their daily bread, so to speak. They get what they need for that day, their bread and their flesh. Again, we see the freedom of God, the freedom here of Israel that God gives them by feeding them, giving them food, giving them bread and meat to survive. So we see here review of this freedom here. Now, these freedoms lasted. Once we know later on what happened, they got tired of that, didn't they? Like we are never satisfied. Human beings, we're never satisfied. And we're content for a while, but after a while, give me something else, you know? Give me something else. We're not never satisfied in this flesh. And that's what happened to the nation of Israel. What they did, they began to rebel against this freedom. They rebelled in the fact that God was leading them by this glory cloud. They rebelled in the fact that God was just leading them and God was sending them food and water. They wanted something different. You see. and what happened to them. Go over to Exodus chapter 32. Look at verse 30, chapter 32. We'll see what happened. First of all, the rebellion against this freedom that God had given them. They were guilty of idolatry. Verse chapter 32, Exodus 32, verses 1. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, you know, where he was up there getting the Ten Commandments, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know where he is. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And you know, they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Again, here we go. They're rebelling now against God. They're rebelling against God. Here they are, guilty of idolatry. You know, the God that where's Moses at? Our leader, he's gone. Now we have no God, we have no leader, we want to make our own gods. And that's exactly what they did. They gathered up their goals and they made it more gods to serve, more little gods, so to speak, you see. You know, I wonder today, how many gods do we have in this world? How many gods do we have? Now we know there's only one true and living God. But how many gods do we have personally in this world today? This world today. God has given us the freedom to worship Him, Him only. He's holy. He deserves our admonition, our worship, and everything about us. May the Lord help us not to be guilty and rebel against what God wants us to do and be guilty of idolatry. Be guilty of idolatry. The nation of Israel was. Now, go back over to, look at verse number 6 right here. I just read verse number 6. We find here they were guilty of immorality. They rose up and they had burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and people sat down and they rose to drink and they rose up to play, the Bible says right here in this. And so we see here they're guilty now of immorality. Not only idolatry, but immorality is in their lives. Sin is beginning to abound. Why? Because they're rebelling against God. They're rebelling against the one who gave them the freedoms they had, how God richly provided for them. You know, He guided them. He provided food for them. He led them everywhere out of harm's way to safety. So we see also, not only that, we find over in the book of Numbers, turn over to the book of Numbers, and chapter number 21. Not only were they guilty of idolatry and immorality, they were guilty of rebellion against authority. In Numbers chapter 21, look at verse number 5. Numbers 21, verse number 5. You know the story here. This is reviewing, folks, I realize that. Verse number 5, And the people spake against Moses and against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Well, there is no bread again, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They were guilty of rebelling against authority. Why have you led us out here in this wilderness? God led them there. God put them there, and now they were questioning the very fact where God led them, where God put them. Authority. God is in authority. I'm glad that God's in authority. As we say so many times here, about our leaders in our country. You know, we can't do nothing about them. We just know God's in control and we can pray for them. That's what God instructs us to do. And we put them in God's hands. So we see here, they rebelled against this freedom. They were guilty of adultery, immorality, and also rebelling now against authority, the freedom of Israel. Now, let's notice, it goes a step further. This freedom is going to be removed. It's going to be removed completely from them. As far as God leading them, providing food for them, He's leading them all the way. Back in Exodus chapter 32, again, let's look at a verse here, verse 26. Exodus 32, verse 26. Idolatry. They were guilty of adultery. Now, what does God do about this? God deals harshly with sin. He deals harshly with sin. He will not tolerate it. He will not tolerate it. And we see evidence of that in Exodus 32, verse number 26. The Bible says, Exodus, verse chapter 32, yes, and verse 26. The Bible says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' All the sons of the Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, 'This saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor.' And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." God said, "I'm tired of it. This is it." He went and killed 3,000 men because of their sin. God deals harshly with sin. Notice also, immorality was punished also. In Numbers chapter 25, read a verse there, how God did with this. God deals folks with sin. Again, He will not tolerate sin in anybody's lives. Numbers chapter 25 in verse number 9. The Bible says this, 25:9, "Those that died on the plague were 24,000. In other words, we see here that this immorality, worshiping Baalah, worshiping other gods, God killed people because of that, because of their sin. They did not worship Him. He punished them by sickness in their lives. Now, notice also in Numbers chapter 21, go back a couple pages here, we see how God dealt with this thing of rebelling against authority. Chapter 21 and verse number 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents." Let's go back in verse number 5. "And the people spake against Moses, against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.'" And notice what happened. They complained, they murmured against leadership, against authority. What did God do? "And the Lord sent fiery serpents upon the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel," what? They died. They died. Rebellion against authority was punished by fiery serpents biting them. Biting them. See? So what are we seeing here? We're seeing a history example of apostasy, the nation of Israel. And we can apply that with even us today, as America. Now the question is this. What was God's purpose for recording this? All these events concerning Israel's failures. Why did God put this stuff in the Bible? Why did He do that? How do we then apply ourselves today? Well, first of all, I said a couple weeks ago, God doesn't leave anything out. He tells all about everybody. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of that kind of stuff. He records all this thing in the Bible about this Israel. First of all, go back to Jude. Let's see what Jude says here. First Corinthians chapter number 10. See what the writer here says about this, why he does this. First Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 11. It says, now all these things happened unto them. That's Israel. Notice, for what? In samples, and they are written for our what? Admonition. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, these things that God records about Israel, their sins, their failures, and all this was recorded for our admonition. Our admonition. Our admonition is simply to instruct with authority concerning our own weaknesses. We have the same weaknesses as the people and the children of Israel have, folks. We're in the same body. We're in the same flesh. And all these things were recorded for us to instruct us, you see, with authority. God will do with sin, God will deal with sin on our behalf, just like He did with the nation of Israel. He's going to deal with sin, folks. We may think today, the world may think today, that sinners are getting by and they're doing this, doing what they want to do. But God's still going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with sin. It's going to be in His own time. It's not going to be when I want Him to, but it's going to be when He chooses to. He's going to deal with sin, you see. So these things are recorded for our admonition. Now, what does it say about us to do? Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed. Take heed. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Fall. We need to take heed as children of God, lest we fall into this thing of following false leaders, apostasy in the world today. Now, how do we take heed? We take heed in many ways. Our speech is one way we take heed. Psalm 39, verse 1 tells us that. We take heed with our overconfidence. Being overconfident. You know, I'm a good Christian. I've got it made. I know what I'm doing and all this. Listen, overconfidence, pride goes before a fall, the Bible tells us. Overconfidence is something that we don't need in our life. We need to realize, I'm weak. I need God every day of my life. There's not a moment that I don't need Him in my life. Being deceived by others. Others can easily deceive us. We need to take heed and not let it happen. We need to take heed about our liberty that we have as a Christian. Enjoy the fact, you know, that we have the liberty to assemble together like this today and to have the Word of God taught us and preached to us. That's the liberty that we have. Our ministry to others, we need to take heed. Minister to others. Do all we can to help other people, as you see. So we see, first of all, these things are recorded for our instruction in authority concerning our weakness. Our weakness, folks. God is telling us through Israel who we are as individuals. We're weak. We're sinners. We need Him in our life every day. You know, He leads us. In fact, we have Him in us today, folks. We have no excuse. The Holy Spirit lives within us to direct us and help us and teach us. And He does provide for us, does He not? Every day, He provides for us. And so we need to take heed about this. Notice also, another reason these things are recorded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as cometh to man. But God is what? He's faithful. What is He faithful to? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We see also these things are recorded to assure us according to God's strength. God didn't say you can make a way to escape temptation, but God said I'll make a way that you can escape temptation. It's all by God's strength. All by God's strength that we can do this, you see. These are recorded to assure us concerning God's strength for us. Just like God gives strength to Israel, He'll give that strength to us. God's strength is not limited, folks. God's all-powerful. God will not do for me what He won't do for you, or vice versa. He'll do the same for all of us. He'll give us that power, give us that strength that we need in our lives. Now, temptations. What is a temptation? We know it's being enticed to do wrong, isn't it? It's enticed to do wrong. Sometimes it's to be tested or proved by God. Temptations come. It can presume on the goodness of God, though. We're not careful. A temptation can. So we need to watch out for that. Israel tempted God in this manner. And you know, we can do the same thing today. We really can. What is the source of temptation? We know there's three. There's the world, the flesh, and who else? The devil. These are the sources of temptation in the world today. Now, what is the purpose of temptation? Turn over to James chapter 1. Why are we tempted? James chapter 1, look at verse number 2. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Y'all find that easy? I don't. It's very difficult, isn't it? But notice verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Love him. We're all going to be tempted. We're all going to be tested. God's children are tempted to that they might be strengthened. They might be strengthened. We need strength, folks. And we're tested to grow, to be strong. Can you imagine what it'd be like never be tempted as a Christian? We would become so proud, would we not? We would become so proud. But God allows temptations to come into our lives, tests to come into our life, to strengthen us, to realize our strength is in who? God. Our strength is not in ourselves, but our strength is in God. Paul says, I can do all things through me. No, Christ, which what? Strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where our life is to be lived, realizing that only by God's grace and God's strength can I make it day by day, day by day, day by day. Some of us are going through some hard tests in life. Like most everybody is, I think. It may be physical, it may be mental, emotional, financial, family, whatever it is. All of us are being tested today, aren't we not? But folks, we have to put our trust in God. We have to rely upon Him day by day for the strength, for the ability, for the wisdom to survive in this world in which we live in. But you know, thank God, one day it's going to all be over, folks. All going to be over with. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with Him. And our testing and our trials will all be ended. But until then, we must realize, as we look back in history upon the nation of Israel, right on up to us today, we're all human. We all have the same nature. And we all need God. We all need God. Let's not forget where our freedoms come from. Okay? Let's thank God for those freedoms. And let's use them for God's glory, you see, that God may not have to take away from us. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to look at verse 6 and 7 in Jude, talking about a nation. Talk about here again, we're going to talk about angels, and we're going to talk about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, how we're going to look at their apostasy also during the day in which they live. You know, the Bible's full of it. And again, God gives it to us to strengthen us, folks. He's not giving it to us to discourage us. He's giving it to us to realize Israel made it by God's help. We also can make it by God's help. And that's the only way we're going to make it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God in the past, God, that you have written about as examples to us, Lord, of how they needed you. They or were to rely upon you, and God, how we are to do the same thing today. Even though we live in a different era, a different dispensation, knowing that you live within us as your children, we need your help every day. God, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for providing for us salvation, first of all. Lord, ability to do what we do in this world. Lord, help us daily to bring honor and glory to you. Thank you. These are your people that come to Sunday school. I pray you bless them, Lord, for being here today and supply every need. God, help us to realize, Lord, that we're weak and we need you. And God, that you're going to make a way. You're going to make a way in everything that we face if we'll trust you and realize that you are in control and allow you to be in control of our life. Lord, we're going to a next service. I pray, Lord, for the service. I pray for the singing, the congregation, the special, the playing. I'll pray again for our pastor. to anoint him afresh and anew with your power and your spirit to bring to us the message you laid on his heart this week. God, help someone here, Lord, today if they're lost, to get saved. Lord, that's what it's all about. Lord, let us pray that your will be done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.